worship and preparation of our heart to hear your word. Just speak now as we go through it, and let us understand these things and just be caught up with you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's Exodus chapter 14, verses 15 to 31 tonight. Exodus 14, verses 15 to 31. Israel has left Egypt, and God is taking them to the promised land. And God is leading them to the wilderness and toward the Red Sea. We went over this last time that the normal route would be just go up north and cross and right along the coast up into the promised land. It would have taken a couple of weeks. God took them down south and toward the Red Sea, then east. And that was kind of puzzling to Pharaoh. We read last week where he thought, wow, these guys don't know what they're doing. They're getting lost in the wilderness. But God had a plan. God had a plan. Did you ever get in a situation where you don't know what God's doing? Like, what in the world is going on here? Doesn't seem like it's working out for good. But God works out miracles. Pharaoh let them go, but now he's had second thoughts about letting the children of Israel go. And he gets his army together and chariots and pursues them. And they think they have the Israelites trapped. The wilderness, they'll be there on one side and then the Red Sea on the other. Now, we read last week when they looked and saw the chariots and the Egyptian army, they feared and they started complaining. Oh, why did you get us out of here to die in the wilderness? It looked bad to them. That's because they saw. They looked with their eyes. And they feared, and they're complaining, wondering why Moses led them to the wilderness. And Moses cries out to God, they're crying out. And then Moses encourages them. Remember, we ended with 13 and 14, where Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. That's a great verse, verse 13, Exodus 14, verse 13. When we're in trouble, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. What a verse. Wow. We get into another great verse today. So we now, you know, we must always be aware of God's presence with us. You know, and so we pick it up in verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Why are you crying out? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. In other words, he says, forward march. That's it. I told you I'm going to get you somewhere. I'm going to get you there. That is so important that we persevere as Christians and go forward. God has delivered them. He promised them the promised land. You know, the promises of God are true, even though sometimes it doesn't look like something's going to happen or for good. But he's faithful. You know, we as Christians go through much trials and tribulation. Is there anybody here that's not gone through a trial in their life? I mean, we do. We go through trials. But we must go forward. That's the key. We must go forward. Else we end up complaining like they were. You get into yourself and you complain about your situation. It's important that we keep moving on and don't give up. See, our circumstances can put fear in our hearts. You know, something can happen to put fear in our hearts and stop us from going forward in the Lord. You know, it stops us from growing and serving. We must go, you know, if we're not going forward, we're sliding back. That's the way it is in life. We're really never standing still. Just check yourself out. You know, you either got this positive attitude, you're going forward and things are good, or you're murmuring, complaining, and going back. You have your choice. But and we press on. If our eyes are on the circumstances, our strength, our power, we will be afraid at times because we're weak. We must believe God's promises and focus on his power and strength and go forward. The Lord is going to give Moses now directions on how Israel should proceed. You know, I think I need to share something about going forward here in verse 15. Dayton shared with me a couple weeks ago how Bob Davis, years ago, used to be in our worship group, played guitar. And you remember Bob? And he ran into some trouble. And a couple years ago, he had a heart attack. And he went through some trials there. Then Dayton was telling me a couple weeks ago, he talked to him, and he went to the doctors, and they found out he has leukemia. And a very difficult one. So he's on chemo and really going through it. And then, so I got in touch with him today, and I expected to make a call that was going to try to comfort somebody. Because we're reading these, I'm reading over this, what we're going through going forward. And don't look at the circumstances. And I talked to him, and by the time we were done, I said, Bob, you really encouraged me today. This happens so often with people that go through trials. It all depends how you handle them. Now, he's been dealt everything that could bring you down. But I started talking to him. Well, the thing is, when I called him, and I said, Bob, hello, and Bob, are you there? Hello. I said, can you hear me, Bob? Hello. It's like he couldn't hear me. And then after we finally started talking, he told me later, you know what? I had my headphones on. I was listening to music, and I answered the phone with my headphones on. I couldn't hear. Then I finally realized it. He says, I'm going through this chemo right now. My brain is fried, you know. So we started talking, and he starts telling me, I'm in the best place I have ever been in my life. I don't know if he told you that I have ever been in my life. And this guy, they don't know what's going to happen to him, you know. He's going through all this chemo. And I says, wow, I call to encourage you. And he said, you know, he said, I need to share this with you, that I had a heart attack a couple of years ago. Well, before that, he stepped away from the Lord a little bit. Okay, and then he has the heart attack. And then he comes back a little bit, and now he has this. He says, I got to be honest with you. I stepped away from the Lord, and the heart attack was my second chance. God spoke to me, and I made all these promises to God and everything else. And he said that I started getting back in fellowship, but then fell away again. He says, so this is my third chance. We talk about second chance. He says, God is so merciful and gracious. And he said that he spoke to me in a way now that I really know and feel God, not just in my head. And I am just content in praying for my wife who doesn't know the Lord, and family, and everybody that comes over to visit me. You know, he plays guitar, and so he says, people come over, I'll play for them and sing songs for them and encourage them. He says, I'm just praying for God to keep sending people to me so I can encourage them in the Lord. And I'm calling to encourage him. And he's telling me how God is using him, you know. And so it was just blowing my mind. And he says, you just got to keep going. It shows me how God's merciful and gracious. And he gives you third chances. He doesn't give up on you. And it's all about getting to know God in a real and personal way. And I says, you're right. No matter what you attain in this life, and I think we'll admit that, there's still like always something missing, isn't there? This is in heaven. Where we really find the peace and joy in life is when we enter into that intimate fellowship with the Lord, and we're just at peace no matter what's going on or what you're facing. And that's where he's at. He says, Yeah, I agree. There's nothing that could ever take the place of the position I'm in right now. And I don't even know what's going to happen to me.
Dayton heard from him this afternoon.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well, the first thing I want to tell you, when he first got a hold of me a few weeks ago, the first thing he said to me is, you can run, but you can't hide from the Lord. He'll get you. He'll grab a hold of you. If you let him.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Real dream, but that's not going to happen. So, but he's still upbeat, tremendously at peace. It sure seems. And he said to thank everybody for praying for him.
Yeah, it's amazing that. And so I shared what the Lord said here. Just, why are you crying out? Just go forward. He says, yeah, that's what you got to do. Just go forward and day to day and just do what's in front of you and use what you have for the Lord. Yeah, but it was so encouraging to talk to someone because, you know, when we're not going through anything, we can have a strong faith, can't we? And it's really easy to talk to people when everything's in order. But when you're going in the fire, when you're in the fire, and he didn't know that was going to come out this afternoon, so apparently still got to go through more therapy or chemo, because he was saying the next step would be stem cell. That's why they have to keep checking his blood, because he can't do it till that's in remission, and then you can take. They don't do bone marrow transplants anymore. I guess they do stem cell. And so that's what he was looking forward to. But he was saying how, you know, it's just great knowing the Lord that way. And my encouragement is just keep going forward in whatever you're in. And you use it for the Lord. And it encourages me and everybody else as they see you go through it. That we can be, you know, like Paul says, my life is a living epistle. You don't need the Bible. I'm the Bible that they should be reading. You know, all of us, people see our faith. That's where it's at. And so, and the thing he shared too, he says, you know, I've been in a church, and he says, I want to get back to church there. Because I know some people here, and I'm praying for the day I feel good enough that I can come back to a nice fellowship where everybody knows everybody, and we can have some friends and some fellowship again is what he's looking forward to. So keep him in your prayer, Bob Davis, that God will get him through this period, because it's pretty easy to get discouraged when you go through that. But it just needs.
Just one last comment. You know, he left the tent a year because his wife was willing to go to a different church. And that's why he left here. He was hoping to get her in touch.
But it's great. It's just encouraging to see people go through that. So our circumstances can get us, but we need to press on. So, see, Moses was told, go forward in verse 15. Don't cry to me. Just go forward. And the Lord, you know, and here's the thing. We see that Moses had faith. We're told that in the book of Hebrews. He was a man of faith because he believed the Lord. You know, we read these stories in the book of Exodus that are true. And it's just not stories or a movie that we see. These things really happened. You know, it's not like, oh, he's a biblical figure, so that was easy for him to just put his rod over the Red Sea and part. No, no. He had the same kind of brain we have. He would be tempted by the enemy the same way we would. When you think of the things that he did, you say, he had to have a lot of faith. I mean, you know, you're putting your life on the line. And so the Lord tells him in verse 16, lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So he says, lift up your rod, stretch it out over the sea, and divide it. Now, that's going to take a miracle. You know, that would take a miracle. And that's the way you guys are going to walk over to the other side in the midst of the sea. That would take a miracle. That takes faith. See, his part was put your rod over the sea. That rod that God said to take with you, that was he was performing the signs through. That's his part. Our part is always the faith. That was his part. That was just the sign of faith there. God's part, divide the sea. It's up to God to take care of the details and the situation. We always like to know, well, how are you going to work this out, God? You know, I'll take step one if you tell me what the end's going to be in all of this. You know, we want all the details one step at a time. Put the rod out over the sea, and I'll take care of it. And God did. Israel shall cross over on dry ground. So what happens? We read in verse 17, as we walk by faith, things happen. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. He says, I'm going to get a great victory in this. You know, I'm going to have the Egyptians follow you, and I'm going to gain victory and honor over Pharaoh and the army, his chariots, and his horsemen. God's saying, I am going to gain honor and respect from these people. I'm going to perform a great feat that only Almighty God can do. The reason for doing it, verse 18, then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. They're going to know that I'm the Lord Jehovah, because they believe in a lot of false gods. He says, but they're going to know that I am the Lord when I've gained honor for myself over Pharaoh. You know, I rule, it's not Pharaoh. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. Do you remember in chapter 13, verse 21 and 22? Chapter 13, verse 21 and 22, the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God gave them his Shekinah glory was evident there. He was in the cloud there, and he moved behind them. He moved before them and would lead them by day and by night. When the cloud moved, they would get up and move. When it stayed, they stayed. That's how they knew to stay or go. How do we know today? The Holy Spirit. We're guided by the Holy Spirit. So it was always before them. But you notice in verse 19, the cloud went from before them to behind them. God went behind them to create a division between Egypt and Israel. See, to put something in between there. An angel of God tells us in verse 19, well, an angel of God, we see that in the Old Testament, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, the Lord. We see that when he appeared to Abraham. We see that in a few places in the Old Testament, an Old Testament appearance of Jesus. He moved behind them. So the Egyptians were there, then the Lord, the cloud, then Israel, then the Red Sea. So now it's not just the Egyptians and Israel and the Red Sea, so there's no hope. The flesh would see the Egyptian army, and then here we are, the Israelites, and then there's the Red Sea. So I'm between a rock and a hard place. It's different now, because as they cry out to the Lord goes in front of them. So now there's the Egyptian army, then the Lord, then the Israelites, then the Red Sea. That's what prayer does. We're foolish not to pray about everything, because when we pray, we bring God into the equation. Before I pray, it's me, the difficulty, the sickness, the financial problems, and the end result. When I pray, it's me and God and then the bad circumstances. So guess who's going to win? That's why we are taught to pray about everything and don't worry about anything. And that's when the peace of God will give you this peace that surpasses understanding. That's one thing that Bob shared with me. No one can understand why I have this peace. I says, because the Bible says it's that it passes all understanding. You share with your relatives and all, well, don't you understand the dire situation you're in? Hey, it's that peace. Because God's in it. Because God's in it. And so verse 20, so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that one did not come near the other all that night. So God protected them that night. The cloud was darkness for the Egyptians. A pillar of cloud was dark, but it was light to God's people, shining light this way on God's people. So the Egyptians couldn't see the Israelites. Was dark for them, but they could see in front of them. So Israel is safe. And so what did Moses do? He did it. He stretched out his hand over the Red Sea, and guess what? The Lord, you notice the Lord, not Moses or the rod, the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. Now there are people and unbelievers and scientists that say, well, you know, maybe it was in the shallow part and a big wind came and parted the water and dried the land up and all. Well, maybe it did, but it says right here in verse 21 that the Lord caused the sea to go back and bring the wind. No matter how it can be explained by humans, it's still the Lord that did it. You see? And people can argue over these things. Isn't it easier to just believe Exodus 14:21? It's easier to just do that. The Lord did it. No debate. No things to debate. The Lord did it. Darkness for Egypt, Moses stretched out his hand, and his faith accomplished miracles. We see that in Hebrews 11. He was a man of faith because he obeyed the Lord on these things. And verse 22, so the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. That's another amazing verse. They had to have faith. Here's the sea, and all of a sudden it's parted. And it's not just a little path. We're talking about 2 million people here with animals and everything else. I would say it's, and they crossed over that one night. I would say it's a pretty wide path. And here they go, and God dried up the ground, and they went into the midst of the sea, and the water, where the Lord divided them, was a wall of water on their right hand and a wall of water on their left hand. So you picture the scene, dry ground, and there's the sea still there, but it's like just held back by God on this side and on that side. Would you be afraid to go in? You might think about it, but they had faith. They saw God work. And so they go out, you know. Sometimes we wonder, how in the world are things ever going to work out? There's no hope over here. There's no hope over there. It seems impossible. Whenever you get to that point, remember Exodus 14:22. Well, there's always a third option that we don't see, the way the Lord's going to do it. The impossible way to us. The sea is parted by God. It's a wall of water. They go through. And I've always said this. Were they tempted to touch the water? I mean, if you saw that, if I saw that, I think I'd want to, like, is that really water there? How do you keep the children away? You know, wow, don't touch that water, you know? And there's this pathway in there. Wow. Let's turn to Psalm 74, verse 13. I wonder if some really ran through it. They says, well, you know, I'm darting through this right now while it's held back. Psalm 74, 13. No doubt who did it. 74:13. You, God, divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters. God divided the sea by his strength. Psalm 77, verse 19. This is a beautiful verse. Psalm 77, verse 19. Your way was in the sea. And we could do a whole message on this verse. There's our way and there's God's way. You know, there's this trouble in front of you, this trouble in back of you. Which way do you want to go? Which decision do you want to make? But then there's God's way, a way we don't even think about. And we pray and He directs us and works things out. You notice it says, His way happened to be to go into this sea. Now, who would have ever thunk of that? That was God's way. And that's why He tells us, don't lean on your own understanding. He'll direct your paths. His way happened to be through the sea. Wow. Your way was in the sea, your path. You were going to create a path in the great waters. And look at this. And your footsteps were not known. What a beautiful thing that is. God's way was to lead them through the sea. Sometimes we go through the fire, but God's always with us. Sometimes we have to go through it, like these people that are suffering diseases now. Sometimes you go through it. You just have to go through it. And isn't this wonderful? It says your footsteps were not known, or literally could mean not seen. It'd be easier if we saw God's footsteps, wouldn't it? Well, okay, there's God going across. Look at those big footsteps. He says, your footsteps were not known, were not seen. We did it by faith. We have to know that God is always with us. He's the great I am. We don't see God's footsteps. We walk by faith. And we must believe that He's directing our steps. Even though we don't see His footsteps, they were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Faith sees His footsteps. Back to our text, verse 23. The Egyptians pursued. Well, they saw the children of Israel going through. They said, let's go get them. They pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Oh, boy. They followed him. The pathway was for God's people, not for everybody, for God's people. We receive the blessings of God, we His children. Verse 25, what happened? Oh, 24. And it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and He troubled the army of the Egyptians. Trouble. He confused them, it means. See, it was only for God's people to cross through. They went in. It wasn't for them, so He confused them. And He took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Guess who got honored and glorified? God. He says, I'm doing all this so they'll know I am the Lord. Another important point. Why we should persevere and go forward and go through the trials with victory and peace. Because other people are watching. And they need to see the Lord in us. They need to see that He's going to take me home. I'll be with Him no matter what. And today I'm just going to serve Him and let Him have His will done. And God is going to give me a chance to share this victory with other people. That's why we just go through it and persevere. But they couldn't get through. But they said, let's get out of this. We're walking on this path between the wall of water, and all of a sudden we're stuck. Our chariots are stuck. Let's get out of here, because the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, fights for them, and He's fighting against us. We're the enemies of God. Let's get out of there. They knew they had no chance against Jehovah God. Verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea again. Stretch it out, and the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. Oh, boy. So He says, put your hand back out, and the waters are going to come back. It doesn't look good for them. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The Egyptians tried to flee, but it's too late. The sea went back to normal. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. Wow. He wiped them all out. So no one's going to be chasing Israel anymore. He wiped them all out. Not one of them. See, when God does something, he does it completely. He's not going to let the enemy still follow you around. He defeats him. Then the waters returned, not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Boy, I would have loved to see that. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? If you knew God wouldn't bring that water back, just to walk through water like that. Wow, water on both sides of you. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. That had to be a horrible sight. What a horrible sight. They were all on the shore, everything, all dead. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. And so what? The people feared the Lord, they reverenced the Lord, and they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. They saw how awesome God is, and they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now, let's read John 20, verse 29. Remember doubting Thomas? He says, I have to see to believe. Let me put my hands, reach, you know, your finger here and my hand here. And so Thomas in answer said, my Lord and my God, as Jesus showed himself to Thomas. And Jesus said to him in verse 29, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Blessed are we that have not seen and believe. Because that means that we'll have the peace of God at all times, not just when we see it, but always we'll have that peace of God because we know he's there and he will take care of us. He is the deliverer and he will deliver us. So next week we get into this song of Moses. What a wonderful song about what the Lord did, Exodus 15. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We just thank you for your great love for us and your encouragement. And we would pray tonight as we have a time of prayer now that you would prompt us to pray for those things that you lay on our heart. Prayer brings you into the equation. And we are victorious because we're more than conquerors when you're in it. So we pray, Lord, that we would be bold and speak out and pray for those things that you want to cover in our life today and intercede for others, Lord, so they can be helped. So take over now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.